Let's go ahead and all stand. Praise God. Father, we want to thank you this morning for the wonderful Word of God. We thank you for this season that we're in, not only a Christmas season, but also another season. There's a new season coming, a brand new season for the church, for individuals who's been believing for a fresh anointing, those who believe in God for a fresh start, those people believing for a revival in their marriage, their health. I want to thank you, Lord, because you're a God of good standing. You're good on your word, just like you said, and that you shall have what you say. So thank you that I'm believing that everyone here is going to have an awesome year, an awesome year. I'm standing with them. I'm believing with them. Every child, every boy and girl in their family will thrive. This is a year of thriving. Thriving, not just surviving. Thank you for the blessing of God. Thank you for the blessing for being a child of God and all the benefits that come with being a child of God. Oh, we thank you for the good things that you have in store for us. Just like that baby girl, Elia. That her mom and dad are happy. They have plans for her. Plan to bless her, not to destroy her, to hinder her. But a blessing is coming to all your children. Thank you in advance, Lord. Oh, we praise you, Lord. You said in Genesis 12 to our father Abraham, in faith, you said you will be a blessing and that you will be a disperser of blessings. Blessings will come out of you, your life. And so we thank you that this day, we mark this day as a day of blessing. We mark this hour, this day, this journey, this fresh year coming as a day of blessing. A blessing for every area we turn, to the right hand, left hand, in the city, in the country, when we're traveling, when we're not traveling, when we're at home. No matter where we are blessed. Thank you that everything we decide to do will succeed. We put our hand to do, we work at it, it will succeed. So I thank you in advance for this year of blessing. In the name of Jesus, say, this is my year of blessing. I'm expecting great things to happen. I believe it, I receive it, I say it, it shall come to pass. This is the year of great blessing. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Amen. All right, be seated. I believe that. When the prophetic word comes, we need to stand and believe even further. Thank God. Well, if you got your Bibles this morning, I think we're going to heading into a brand new series. And, you know, around here we teach on series, but just because we teach on a series doesn't mean that this is all, it's all going to be, because God will get to you somehow, yes. Right? If it's healing you need, you'll get healing. If you're in the church, if it's encouragement you need, if I've been talking about the last days, you're going to get encouraged. Amen? If you need money, we're talking about healing, you're going to get money. Praise God. Amen? I mean, you're believing God for the blessing of God. So I thank God for the word. It's productive. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, my wife is saying, you know, you have to give in order to you for you to get benefit. Any ministry that I know of, if you begin to give towards it, something happens. You get something. A little bit extra. And I believe that. I stand firmly on that. I believe those people who continually give offerings to the church, something extra happens to them. Amen. That, you can't, some people don't. And it's in the Bible. It's just the way it is. That's how, it's a legal process with God's word. It's set in the way we should understand spiritual laws. How many people know when you give, you go to the bank, you never put money in there for years, and you go to the bank, you ask them for money, you write something, and they say, well, you can't draw, there's no money here. Well, this is the bank, he said, yeah, but you haven't put anything in there. And it multiplies too, doesn't it? Thank God. My wife has been investing money. I hope she's not embezzling any money. No, no. She invests a few bucks of our money, so we're believing God that it'll multiply. But God can come around tomorrow and give it all away. Amen? That's what happens. Anybody been there? You know, you're saving that extra $1,000 or something, and all of a sudden God says, give it away. I remember a young man in this church. He came over to my house one day. He was trying to meet me. And he hands me $5,000 cash in an envelope. You know, he just gives me $5,000. That's a few years ago. And it's all gone now, so if you want to give me $5,000 bucks. So he gave me $5,000, you know, and I thought, wow, that's wonderful, you know. At first, I didn't want to take it, and then somebody else gave me $1,000 one day. He said, let's go downtown. We went down to the bank and hand me $1,000, amen? That's good, isn't it? You don't have to be jealous. You don't have to look at me in a tone of voice, but it could happen to you. I mean, I've done it. I've given money away, and I thought, man, this is, you know, it's not going to come back. But it always comes back. The Bible says, whatsoever you sow, that's what you'll reap. Amen. Bible says, given it shall be given. It shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Yeah. Running over to you. It'll come back to you in many ways. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. I believe that. I'm counting on it. You know, I gave 2 cars away. I haven't got one back yet. But I'm believing. I'm believing that someday, you know, we just got to pay our new vehicle off, my wife and I. We gave it away. God says, give it away. And the Lord tests me. The Lord tests me. He said to me, if you love me, you trust me. I said, I do. The Lord, when he brought me into ministry, he began to strip everything away that was resembled what I thought I was in the world. All my education, all my accolades that I had thought that's going to make me into something. But he stripped me right down to zero. And we didn't have any money. We got into ministry. We had no money. My wife and I'm bouncing a little bit. Can you fix the sound or something, guys? And so we came into ministry, my wife and I. We were just fresh out of university. We were in debt. We were both in debt to pay off our loans. And plus, we had other debts that we had to take care of as well. And so we obeyed God. How many people know you obey God no matter what it looks like? And you just go ahead and do it, because if you know God told you, you go ahead and do it. We had no money, absolutely no money. And it was Christmas time. I remember that one fall, it was Christmas. We came back from Winnipeg, and we said, what are we going to do? And our families thought, now these guys are crazy, you know. They quit their careers. They're going to ministry, basically a missionary in their own city. And that's exactly what it was. Being a missionary, we had no money. And I heard we were just saying, hey, there's, you know, Christmas just around the corner, just a week or two away. We have nothing. And there was a knock on our door, and then opened up the door, and there was Grace Pearson, a widow woman, praise God, amen? Knocking at the door, I said, Pastor, Lord spoke to me, here's a $500 check. This was, I think, about 30 years ago now. 30 years ago, yeah. And she gave me a $500. You know how $500 check 30 years ago was actually $500? Huh? But from a widow woman. A widow woman. Amen. And she brought it. I remember Jean one time. She actually, I don't know if she don't care about me telling this story, but she was very sick. How many know that Jean almost died a few times? She was just skin and bone. I thought she's actually going to die. And thank God we prayed for her. And she's been with us ever since that. Before that, she just almost couldn't walk. She's just like deathly ill, coming to the church. And you know, a person that looked like that and felt that way should actually be home, but no, she came to church. How many people know that you just go ahead and follow through on the things that God has told you, and you will live? She handed me a check. I believe it was $7,000, maybe $500. You know, it's amazing. He said, Pastor, here's something. A single mom handing me this check. At that time, I said, no, I told my wife, I can't take that. $7,500 bucks. I believe that's what it was, $7,000 something anyway. And This was again 30 years ago. When we first started the church, we wanted to, and I thought, man, oh man, you know, I can't receive that. But the Lord spoke to me and rebuked me. He said, no, you better take that because you're stealing a blessing from her. And you know, this lady today has her own house, paid off, drives a car, paid off. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I mean, that's good. I mean, he learned how to, the principles of giving and receiving. Hallelujah. Amen. And so I want to tell you, if you've been given money and, you be sure that God's going to give back to you. Don't ever give up. Don't put a time limit on God. Don't put a time limit on God because he will get back to you. Brother Hagin used to tell us, he don't always pay Saturday night, but he'll always pay back. Amen? So I want to let you know that the Bible is true. Amen. And whatsoever man sows, that will he reap. Thank God for that. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Let's get up one more time. Lift our hands towards heaven and bless God. Let's thank him for his faithfulness. Let's thank him for his goodness. Oh, we praise you. Hallelujah. Even if you're sick this morning, begin to praise him for healing. Even if you got no money, you don't know what's going to happen next. Thank God for direction. Thank God for the finances. They're going to be okay. Your children are going to be okay. All is well. Thank God. We praise you, Lord. We thank you by faith. We lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting that your word is true. Thy word is true. Anything that concerns me, you're going to take care of right now. I want to thank you. We lift up our hearts, our burdens, our anxieties, our cares, and we throw it all to you, Lord. And if it comes back to us, we say, we don't have it. I don't worry about it. God's taking care of it. I'm doing what my part is. And I thank you. And I thank you for this service this morning, that the word of God will go boldly and accurately. And people's hearts will be open. Eyes will be open. Hearts will be receptive. And they'll be doers of the word of God. We give you praise in advance for what it will do. Supernatural, miraculous things will happen. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Turn your Bibles with me, please, to we're going to look at the 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'm looking at verse 13, but I want to read verse 12 along with it just to give a brief idea, because it actually fits very well. Our topic of discussion is over the overcoming life. You know, the Bible says we're overcomers, and you don't overcome unless you have trials. So if you have trials, you're in the right spot. 1 Corinthians 10, 12 and 13, I want to thank God for our viewers. I thank God for people that is sowing seed. We're reaching a lot of people. I heard messages from London, Ontario last week, and again, I heard from Saskatchewan. That's over there. People are getting blessed hearing the word. And this one lady called from Toronto the other day and said, man, I'm getting blessed. You know, if you're on TV, they think you're a big shot. They think you got some money or something. But, you know, we're on because God asked us to go on. Amen. But here in 1 Corinthians 10 and 12, it says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth. Everybody standeth. Say standeth. Take heed lest ye fall. Everybody say fall. You know, you have to be sure that if you're standing and you don't have to be so cocky about your own life that you don't think anything will ever happen to you. And you look down on other people because they're suffering with something. They're suffering with a fault or an area of weakness in their life, and you look at them and look down on them, and you think, you know, what's wrong with those guys? How come they can't stand on their own two feet? Here's what the New English translation of that verse says. So let the one who thinks he is standing be careful that he does not fall. So, you know, we need to always be careful. Just because you're doing good today doesn't mean that the trouble you had tomorrow might resurface, or somehow something related to it will get back on you. And you don't look down on someone else because they're having a trouble. Anybody been judging anybody lately? You know, we don't want to judge anybody. And he says, and there, I'm going to read again the King James. There has no temptation taken you, but is such as common to man. Everybody say common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. Now that verse doesn't say that God is giving you temptation. He's just saying that God is going to give you the ability to overcome the temptation. But with the temptation, he will also make a way of escape. Everyone say, he'll make a way of escape. That you may be able to bear it. Now, I want to say, temptation is no sin. But giving into temptation could be a sin. You know, we need to understand that every one of us, we struggle in life. I want to say also that here, a quote, if you don't want temptation to follow you, don't act like you're interested. Huh? If you don't want temptation to follow you, don't act like you're interested. As an introduction, I want to say that here, we can overcome any temptation in life. We live in a world of temptations. The devil is called the tempter, and he is a tempter. He will do whatever he can to take you into his grip. He'll take you down the road into bondage and into despair, where you have no hope of thinking that you'll ever overcome an area of your life. When anyone gives into temptation, it gives it more power, and it's harder to get out of it and to break the cycle. But you know, God has plans. He's already planned a way of escape. And let's say here that everyone gets tempted. Every one of us, the Bible says, it's common to man that everyone will get tempted. Everyone is tempted with something at some point in your life, as the scripture text tells us. So we don't want to be too quick to judge somebody, look down on someone when they're falling into their temptation, whether they're taking drugs or alcohol, whether they cheated on somebody, whether they stole money. Everyone has different areas of weakness. Like some people tell me about different things I'd never even think about having a temptation in certain areas. It wouldn't even fizz on me, wouldn't even bother me to think about some areas, but you take me to another area, I would last too long under those circumstances. Like we, if you put everything in its certain kind of, you know, entertaining fashion and beckoning, you'll give in to certain temptations sooner or later. So it's no good to judge somebody because they have a weakness and you don't seem to have one there. Don't judge, because the scripture says that you might have a chance to have an occasion to fall yourself. The Amplified Version says of 1 Corinthians 10:12, therefore let no one who thinks he stands firm, immune to temptation, and that's what sometimes people feel, I'm immune to it, I'll just go ahead and do whatever, being overconfident and self-righteous, take care that he does not fall into sin and condemnation. There's all kinds of temptation. All kinds of them. Temptation comes into us, comes into all kinds of fashions and sizes and flavors and colors, you know. It comes in all kinds of ways. So we need to be sure that we ourselves are standing on solid ground. We need to protect ourselves in areas where we have had weakness in. Amen? And so around here, we try to build into our leadership things that would cause us to not go back into a certain lifestyle. And within the leadership realm, it's easy to start bickering and fighting among each other and try to fight for different things. Around here, we don't really fight for positions because there's a lot of work involved. We don't want just titles, you know. And so where people fall or what people fall for in an area, other people might not ever be tempted. For example, somebody might be tempted to quit battling a certain kind of habit, and you look at them and you say, well, how could that guy have that kind? In fact, that person's a Christian. Why does he have that habit? And kind of look down on that person. And not even think about it. And say, man, that's a Christian. How many people know, if you read the Bible carefully, you understand this. Everyone has an area where they can have trouble in. And it can take you down the road. And I just heard someone the other day, a pastor with a great worldwide ministry, said, he talked to a lot of folks. There's thousands upon thousands of Christians in churches that are hooked on prescription drugs. And they can't stop. They seem to think they can't stop. Or illegal drugs. And they can't stop. There's pastors or some ministers who's hooked on alcohol. Some hooked on pornography. We're not going to list yours today because we thought we won't that. We won't blame anybody. You know, I mean, people sometimes, you know, I can't walk by a chicken house. I ain't got to get some kind of chicken. I mean, I was at the mall instead of getting one gift. I only had money for one gift. And I went in there and got my gift. And actually, I was looking for one of these, you know, I want to tape some shows for hockey and all that stuff. Mine doesn't work. I tried everything to fix it. If you can fix a PVR, let me know because I'll give it to you. You can fix it for me. But anyways, I'm trying to tape some shows so I can watch it later. I went there. They said it costs $500. I said, $500? I don't know. Does anybody have PVR at their house? Who's got a PVR at their house? You tape stuff. Okay. You know, it's good to tape a show once in a while and watch it later. You don't have to watch it when everybody else watches it. So anyway, so I went in there and I came out and I smelled chicken. And I looked across the street, I see KFC, brand new thing, brand new. I mean, what more can you get? You're hungry, it's at the end of the day. I mean, you're going home and, you know. I just had chicken on my mind, you know. And so anyway, I had to drive real quickly out of that place because my wife said she had supper. When I got home, it was leftover. So, please pray for my wife. Praise God. Anyway, so people will fall for one area, but maybe not you. Quitting like smoking or something like that. Some might get tempted down the road. Maybe want to give into a depression. Here's a big one for this time of the year. I heard, I mean, statistically, people say Christmas time is one of the greatest opportunities for someone to give into depression. Why is it has to be at Christmas? Why can't it be July 1st? Huh? And it's because of some kind of thinking. You have some kind of big expectation that everything has to work out fine. 24th, 25th, everything has to work out. You got all your gifts. All your baking is done. All the kids are chucking the bed. So tomorrow morning at this time, we're going to open our gifts. Some of them come home drunk. Some of them won't come home at all. Some of them want to sleep in. You know, so it's not a perfect world. So you might be tempted to be depressed this time. So some people have a struggle with it. If I think long and hard enough of all the bad Christmases I had, I'm sure I could have a really good depression. Hey, man. I mean, I just think about just a few years ago. How bad it was. And we can stay around. Maybe tonight at the leadership meeting, we can talk about the baddest one we ever had. So others might be thinking about, a certain, habit that they might have struggled with. Somebody might be thinking about a lifestyle that they may get tempted to go back to. If you were a robber, you might, if you like to steal money, that can creep upon you pretty quick this time of the year. So every one of us, at some point or another, had some kind of a, whatever, made us a sinner, somehow. So it's not just the obvious sins that we want to think about, when you think about different things, you fall into. When people think about sin, they think about, infidelity, like adultery and, stealing. But there's all kinds of other things that are not so obvious that you have a temptation to give in to. Maybe this is the time of the year when you actually can really get mad. And you're mad at everything because you're maybe going grieving or something, you get mad at everybody. So you might give in to somebody and just really tell somebody what you think. So the enemy will bring you thoughts and feelings associated with whatever affects you, brings it up to your mind and disrupts your emotions, can make it very difficult for you to withstand a temptation. And then after he gets you tempted and then you give into some area, then he starts to condemn you and judge you for it. And we mentioned, temptation is not a sin, but giving into temptation can be sin. How many people know that even Jesus was tempted? The Bible says it's common to man. In our scripture, 1 Corinthians 10:13, that it's common to man. So it's common to man that everyone, at some part of their life, maybe certain areas of their life or times of their life will be more tempted than other times. And Hebrews 4:15, the Bible says even Jesus, the Son of God, was tempted. It says here, Hebrews 4:15, that we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. In other words, Jesus understands how you feel because he himself became a man and he understands the dynamics of the human makeup. He was in all points tempted like we are and yet without sin. Notice the latter section of that verse says, but was tempted in all points. He all points was tempted like we are. In other words, Jesus, as a man, became tempted like you and I would be tempted. He understands that. He himself was tempted. It says here, as we read further, and yet without sin. That little verse, and yet without sin, tells you and me this, that there's hope for you no matter how bad your temptation is, that you don't have to give in to it. He says, and yet without sin. Jesus showed us by example that we can overcome this temptation. I don't know. Maybe go this way. It seems to be more noise here coming out. Could be that chicken. I don't know. He was tempted. And yet without sin, even though he did not sin, nevertheless, him being tempted shows us, and him overcoming it shows us that we're able to do what he did. You get that? Nevertheless, he was tempted, and so we should not feel bad if we get tempted by anything that would try to get back to our lives. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, King James Version says this, be ye angry and sin not. There's so many ways you could sin if you're angry. If you're mad, you could steal. If you're mad, you could say a lot of things. You could hurt people. So there's so many ways having an angry feeling of anger doesn't mean it's a sin. It's what you do with your anger. And it goes on to say, be angry, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. So there's an opportunity when we give into anger, then there's an opportunity for the devil to get a hold of you somehow, and you open the door for him. Come on in, Mr. Devil. We open the door. Wonder why what's going on here. It's okay to be angry, so, but not do something stupid and cause more trouble and harm in your life. No matter how many times you get tempted, the scripture says we can keep resisting the enemy. James 4:7 says, resist the enemy and he'll flee from you. So, we have to understand the enemy is a defeated foe, but he's still around doing his tempting. He knows he's defeated. And he knows the only way to get you is deceive you, lie to you, that you can't get over these things. The devil is called a tempter. Over here in Matthew 4:3, the King James Version says, when the tempter came to him, talking about Jesus, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. So he was always around trying to tempt Jesus in different areas. And we saw that, you know, he came there 3 times and he told Jesus different areas. These are symbolic as well as what he will get us to do. He'll even get you to sell your soul to him. I've heard musicians, singers, you know, they get famous because they sell their soul to the devil. The devil was a musician. How many people know that in heaven? And he, you know, he sang rock and roll. Or maybe rap, I don't know. He's probably got all kinds of stuff, especially country music. I know he's a country music guy. He's called the tempter. Over here in 1 Corinthians or 1 Thessalonians 3:5, he says, for this cause I could no longer forbear. I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you. So we can see that these scriptures tell us that the devil try to tempt you into all kinds of stuff. Get you to quit things. Get you to quit church. Get you to quit working with Pastor Roman J. Fisher. You know, I wouldn't work with him. You know, somebody was telling my brother the other day, somebody says, you know, you better tell your brother to get off his high horse. I didn't know if I had a horse. I don't even have a stick horse. I mean, I can't even get on one. But anyway, we know 2 things for sure. Number one, everyone will be tempted. Amen. 2, it's common to everybody. Temptation is common. It's common to everyone, even Jesus Christ. Even the Lord Jesus Christ was tempted. The Bible says that in temptation, Jesus resisted temptation even unto blood. Jesus had so much pressure to give into temptation, but he resisted giving into sin. He showed us that we can overcome all kinds of temptations, no matter how much pressure you get. You can go back home. Sterling can go back home and get tempted. I can go back home. I mean, many years I want to go back, and they said, come on, Roma, let's go have just one. Just one. It's not going to hurt anybody. Well, I didn't give in to that, you know, because you're in a different plateau now. You're in the kingdom of God. So he says here, looking unto Jesus, this is Hebrews 12, 2 and 3, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know, God, Jesus designed your faith. He knows how to get things done in your faith. He knows how to complete whatever assignment, whatever you need to do, he's gonna get it done. Let's look to him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. You will never overcome temptation unless you see over above the temptation what's ahead of you if you overcome this thing. You have to look, you got to have a vision Oh, it's going to look like, I remember talking to my sponsor, years ago, he used to tell me, you know, when you think about drinking, you know, you can walk through the downtown and see the nice lights flashing, you know, inviting you to come and to have a drink. Remember how it is downtown? All those neon lights flowing, they call it neon, you still call those neon lights? You don't call those neon lights. And flowing, you know, beer, you know, flashing like this. And you're walking downtown, and it's asking, and you could actually look inside, peek inside, you see everybody talking in there, smoking their cigarettes, they're drinking, laughing, and having, like they're having a great time, and you have to go home Friday night. The devil tells you, why do you have to go home Friday night? It's early. Just go ahead and sit down and just, you know, just take in some discussion and talk and have a good laugh, and then go home. He said, okay. You go in there, and then you sit down. The devil says, you know, hey, you know what? Just go ahead and take one, you know, one glass. But, you know, you have to think about it. Beyond the fun-filled seeming atmosphere of that thing, if you're an alcoholic or a drug addict, you don't want to be in there. You have to look beyond that and see what it's going to look like. I don't want to see Jerry in detox again. He's signing me in. You know, or being coming out of the jail, I have to see beyond what actually where this road takes me. Yeah, we're having a good time right now, but it won't be very long after three drinks, you know, I'm turning to somebody else. Some of you ought to turn that into the food you've been eating. I mean, there's all kinds of ways, right? If you think about it. Not just one area. He said he endured the cross, despising the shame that is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You get tired out, wore out from these things, if you keep thinking about these things on your own and quit in your mind. You have not resisted unto blood, striving against it. Jesus, it tells us that Jesus was resisting until he bled from his forehead. The Bible tells us that he was so tempted that blood came from his forehead. This is referring to in the garden when he was tempted to quit his assignment to go to the cross, suffer and die and go through hell and lose his position forever in heaven for us. This to gain us. And he went there. He was so tempted to give up. The Bible tells us that. You know, we haven't had that kind of pressure. But Jesus shows us that we can go through a lot of pressure and actually win. So, he went through this. The Bible says, Jesus prayed this prayer. Matthew 28:39, King James says, "Oh, my Father." And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." Now, he did not want to go there because he knew what suffering he would have to endure. But he saw beyond the suffering what victory and what pleasure awaited us in him. That he was able to overcome this temptation to quit. He said, "Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not I will, but as thou wilt be done." Matthew 26:39. He saw he was going to be made sin, an offering for sin. He saw that he had to suffer. He saw that he had to endure this moment. Isaiah said, when Jesus suffered, he did not resemble a human being. He did not resemble a man. He was so disfigured that you could not resemble. Like, you know, they have Jesus on the cross. Like, you know, they have these crosses. He didn't look like that. The scripture says in Isaiah 52:14, see, this is what Jesus was saying. He saw what he had to go through. Now, he wasn't God, you know, super God doing this. He was like a man. It's like you and me going through this. Himself. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, he laid down his power and glory, became a man. So he wasn't doing it like a superhuman being. He says, and there are just as many, the NET, New English Translation says, Isaiah 52:14, just as any man, just as many were horrified by the sight of you, he was so disfigured, he no longer looked like a man. That's the NET translation says. He knew he had to go through. He says, Isaiah 50, verse 6 says that, I gave my back to the smithers, my cheeks to them that plucked off my beard. I hid my face from shame and spitting. He saw all that. He saw all that, the things that he had to endure, but he saw you. He saw you saved, healed, and delivered, and what he would do, what he would bring you and me. You know, you have to think about when you're being tempted to something, think about your own family. What would it happen when if you committed adultery? What's going to happen to your family? Not just your wife, your children, but everybody. What's going to happen when you give in to your desire to use again? Corey, I'm telling, like, what would happen to you if you started giving up to your desire to go back out to you? What's going to happen? I mean, you think about it. What's going to happen to you? You're destroying not only your family, you destroy your reputation, destroy everything, just because you want to have that one more hit. And 5 minutes of pleasure with somebody leads into bondage forever. Losing your reputation, losing everything. He went to hell for every one of us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says he was made to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He became sin for us so that we can have the gift of righteousness. God does not send any man temptation. You know, people say, well, you know, God's allowing this. God sent this on me. God sent this on me. No, he didn't. God didn't send you any temptation. He doesn't tempt you with anything. People say, well, God's testing me. No, he's not testing you. You're testing yourself. If you're talking about the God of this world, maybe the God of this world is testing you. But God is not testing you. He don't play with you. He knows what you're like. Some say God sends this over on me, you know, the Bible, after all, the Bible says he's not going to give me any more than I can handle. That's not what that Bible scripture says. Read the scripture and read the whole counsel of God and read the whole balance of God. God doesn't do stuff like that. It says in James 1:13, let no man say when he is tempted, the King James says, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. God does not send you trials and temptations to test how strong you are. No, he don't. The next verse tells us why man is tempted, why you get tempted. So, James 1:14 says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Your own lust is what you're desiring. It's you, your lust. It's talking about you. Then enticed is talking about the devil, what he's doing. He's putting the bait out there for you. So, don't feed your urges. Don't feed your desires. Get away from everything that would cause you to want to go back to that lifestyle. Tie a rope around the fridge at about 10:30 at night. You know, I mean, sometimes people go, you know, whatever it is you have trouble with, sometimes it's food. I get the same way. It says, when lust, verse 15, when lust had conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when sin is finished, brings forth death. Don't keep feeding your desires being tempted, or it will overcome you. And then you'll feel guilty and condemned, and then you'll feel guilty, and you'll feel that there's no way out of this thing. It's a cycle. Starve your desires and find a way where you can get away from that until you can get strong again. So when we ever messed up, I want to say if you messed up, learn to forgive yourself and learn that God will forgive you. 1 John 1:7-9 says that, you know, if we sin, God will cleanse you and forgive you. If you confess your sin to God, He will forgive you. So, God will make another way. Everybody say, God will make a way. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has seized you that is common for people, but God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond your abilities. Instead, with the temptation, God will also supply a way out so that you will be able to endure it. 1 Corinthians 10:13, the Common English Bible says. You know, we look at the life of Samson. How many people remember the life of Samson? Samson had a weakness. He had a weakness for Philistine woman. He grew up in church, so to speak. He grew up, his mom and dad were devoted people to the Bible, to God. He was brought up in church. But he had a weakness. And then he asked his mom and dad, I want a Philistine woman. They said, you can't have it. Can you find a Philistine woman from your own reserve? They said, no, there's nobody here at 58. I go to 77. He said, I'll go there. I go to Ireland. He said, go to Ireland. There's nobody there. Go to Red Rock. But he had a weakness for a Philistine woman. They must have been gorgeous women. How come they always, you know, temptation comes, they look, they come in different sizes, different because you like their colors and whatever. And so he had a problem. And so he gave in to this time and time again. Finally, he got captured. He got so enticed, he began to reveal where his strength was, and then he got clawed into it. And he got imprisoned. And they gouged out his eyes and made him into a prisoner. And he died. I mean, God gave him a little bit of victory at the end, but he died that way. So we see, you know, it don't matter who you are. It can strike anybody. You can be the most anointed preacher and greatest singer in the world, and you can come down. We have to watch what we do. So there's two things we need to overcome this thing. We can't teach it. We'll have to be another discussion on this one. Two things that you need. One is you need the grace of God. You understand the grace of God. God gives you the ability to overcome all things. Not on your own strength. He'll supply people. He'll supply resources. Only if you're honest. Only if you're honest. If you're not honest, you're about things. You know, you could kind of pretend that you're honest. But no, God, if you're just honest, I know that. You know that. The people say, you have to be honest. When I went to treatment, they told me, Roma, you got to be honest. If you conceal your trouble, you lie about your problem, you will never get over something if you don't face reality that you have a problem. Truth will set you free, Jesus said. And when you become to that place of surrender, say, you know what, I have a problem. See, the devil wants to keep you in the darkness. He said, don't tell anybody about this, because you know what, after all, what are they going to think about you? You're a large Christian. Over 200 pounds. But you know, look at kind of the stature you have. You know, wow, people going to know about it, you know? So don't tell anybody. So you could keep it from your wife. Keep it from your husband. And then you're all of a sudden you're stuck. And you can't get out of it. You wonder why you can't get out of it, because you've been baited. And now you can't get honest because you're afraid what people are going to think about you. But first you need the grace of God, and you have to be honest about your trouble. And the second thing you need is the faith of God, to understand that you can overcome this area. So next time we gather on, maybe Wednesday, we'll talk about how to do this thing. Praise God. Let's go ahead and stand up.